course, not the 19th. What date is it? All right, I'm just testing you to see if you are, see if you were awake. Amen. Revelation 3:7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write these things, saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David. And we talked about that last week, the key of David. He that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Who is ready for the coming of the Lord? I am so ready for that. I am really, you know, let me confess, when I was a teenager, even probably into my 30s, not so much. There was things I wanted to do. I didn't have a good understanding of what the rapture was about. But I'm telling you now, even so, Lord Jesus, please, come quickly. I am really tired of, that's right. When I think about all the things I have to deal with at work, Lord, come quickly. Come quickly. I don't really want to go the way of the grave. I want to go in the rapture. And we have covered four topics on the open door. The first week was the door of salvation. We did the door of protection, the door of ministry, and this week we're doing the door of rapture. Revelation 4:1, and after this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, the voice of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. At the beginning of the book of Revelation, John is told that he's to write down the things which were, the things which are, and the things which are to come. And we see in chapters 1 through 3, especially chapter 3, he's talking about the seven churches. But after chapter 3, chapter 4 opens up with what I believe is symbolically the thing that we call the rapture. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. That's the door I really want. That's the door I really want. I have stood outside of some very impressive doors, gates. You know, we grew up in London, England, and of course, when we were living there, we didn't think anything of it, so we didn't go to Buckingham Palace. The only time we visited Buckingham Palace was when we were coming from America to go visit it. And we stood outside those gates of Buckingham Palace, and it's a black iron fence paint with the tops of it painted in gold, and they have some impressive gates. Now, I have not had the fortune of being invited into those gates. And that's okay, because there's a door I want to go in that is so much above that door. I want to walk through the door that is opened in heaven. Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. So we're talking about this Sunday, the rapture. And we're going to be covering the second coming, the timing of it, and some prophecies yet to come. We're going to discuss what, and then the qualifications. You know, our present new administration has tightened up the qualifications for entry into America. And there's some qualifications that you need for entry into the heavenly kingdom. Not everyone, Jesus said, that said, Lord, Lord, is going to make it. Amen. You know, you can't just go to certain places without you have your passport and a visa. And I've experienced being stopped at immigration customs because the card I had was out of date. And they gave me a very hard time. They said, this is out of date. I said, oh, I didn't even know it was out of date. And so I had to go and wait in a room for at least an hour or two while they decided, you know, to give me a hard time. And they cut up my card. And they said, okay, you need to go and get a new one within 10 days or else, you know, next time you come to customs immigration, you'll be in trouble. So there are qualifications to walk through that door. It's not everyone just going to walk through that door. And then we're going to discuss what happens here on earth and what happens after the rapture. Well, let's start at the beginning. What is the rapture? Well, John chapter 14, verse 1, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled." Isn't that comforting? And the trouble with us humans is as soon as there's trouble, that's the thing that happens. We start to worry. I'm human. I'm flesh. I admit it. I worry. You know, I'm not a rock. Job said in the book of Job that, you know, he was not a stone. If you pinch me, I hurt. If you take a needle, I will bleed. And hopefully that's the same with all of you. We're flesh. The great thing is God knows our frame. He knows that we're human. He knows that we have faults and failings. And I'm going to maybe be dealing with that in my message later on. So Jesus said to the disciples, because they didn't understand what was going to happen. And they had been with him 3.5 years. They had now come to depend on him. Anytime they needed something, "Lord, fix it." And he was about to leave them. And so he wanted to let them know, don't be afraid. There's coming a time when the training wheels have to come off. You know, when a baby is a baby, the moment it cries, the mother runs to it. What's the matter? What's the matter? It's crying. But for that baby to grow, there's coming a time, you know, when the mother doesn't run quite as quickly because the baby's got to learn to grow. Sometimes in our experience, you know, we remember, well, when I first got saved, God answered my prayer right away. But you know what? The Bible says that patience does what? Tribulation worketh patience. And when patience hath had its full course, right? So for us to grow, we have to learn to trust God. And we see that in the story of Martha and Mary and Lazarus, that he didn't come right away because he wanted to get glory in the situation. And that takes trust. That takes trust to just wait upon the Lord. You've been praying for something and it hasn't happened yet. That's when your maturity and your faith is going to be proven. But Jesus said here, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare it, a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." The book of Revelation ends with this verse, "Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus." I've really reached the point now where when I look at this world, there's nothing there I want. I really can tell you there's nothing I want. I have everything I need. I have food. I have clothing. I have a roof over my head. What else do I want? I'm blessed. You're blessed. If you came here today and you weren't starving, you are blessed. Because 75% of the world went to bed last night hungry. 75% did not have the things you have. But Jesus here says, do not let your heart be troubled. Even though you see the world starting to fall apart, and instead of mankind getting better, it's getting more fearful. Haven't you noticed scriptures being fulfilled? Men's hearts, what? Failing them for the things that are about to come upon the earth. It's amazing because year 2000 or you know, at the end of the last, it looked like as if, oh yeah, there is going to be peace on earth. Things are getting better. The world is getting stable. And then all of a sudden, since we've come into this 21st century, I was reading an article in the New York Times and it called it the dark 21st century, how it seems that things have started to fall apart. European Union falling apart, NATO unstable, the whole world is unstable. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled." When you see these things, what are you supposed to do? Look up. Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5:2, "For yourself," this is Paul writing to the Thessalonians, "for yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." Do you know when a thief is coming? No, he doesn't say, well, you know, I'm going to break into your house at 2 a.m. on Wednesday, so just be ready. No, you don't know. Now, we just bought a house a few months ago, and it was owned by a policeman. So he had that place fitted out with cameras and alarm systems. And I'm grateful for that. So because I don't expect it to be broken in, but at the same time, I don't leave my doors open. When I go to bed at night, you know what I do? I turn on the alarm. You know, because I don't know if or when if someone wants to break in. Jesus said, when you start to see these things, you know perfectly that the day of the Lord has so cometh as a thief in the night. That means it's not going to be predictable. He said we would know the season, we would know the general time, but we won't know the day or the hour. But he said, this is how it's going to be. Luke 17:35. I tell you, in that night there shall be two in one bed, the one shall be taken, the other left. It means that it's going to be on a personal basis. Just because you're married doesn't mean both of you going to heaven. It's a personal basis. Two people can be that close that they're in the same bed. They can be brothers or sisters or man and wife. And one can be taken and the other left. This salvation is a personal thing. That's why the Bible says that we are to work out our, not somebody else's. You can't work out somebody else's salvation. You got to work out your own salvation. I might love my children greatly, and I can pray for them, and I can travail for them. But in the end, it's going to be a personal thing. Two shall be in the bed, one, and the one shall be taken, the other shall be left. I told you the story. Those of you who don't know it, I'll tell you again. Probably the, you know when you're getting old when you tell the same stories. When I was 8 years old, of course, my father had been ordained a pastor from before I was born. And so I grew up in the church. And I was always taught about the second coming, that Jesus is coming. And by the time I was 8 years old, I really believed it. And one night, my parents left the house for about an hour or two to a Bible study. And something just got a hold of me, and I thought they weren't coming back. And I thought the rapture had happened. And as I've told you before, I called the police. As an 8-year-old, I dialed, well, in England, it's 999. Here, it's 911, right? And I dialed the police and got on the phone and said, excuse me, I was only 8 years old. My parents are gone, and they're not coming back. And they said, are you sure? I said, yes. What makes you think that? Now, I was smart for an 8-year-old. I knew they didn't understand the rapture, and I said, well, I just know. And while I was on the phone, here comes my parents. Boy, did they have a lot of explaining to do, because the police sent over someone, and they had to explain why your son is telling us you're gone and never coming back. And that's what convinced my father to allow me to be baptized. And I'll never forget that. I don't dream very often. At least, I don't remember my dreams. But the dreams that I do remember are very vivid. And I remember a dream. And this was many, 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 many years ago. I was probably still maybe 11 or 12. And I remember a dream in which I saw a nuclear war. I saw, you know, that mushroom cloud. And that was the other thing that terrified me. And I said, I don't want to be left here. But Jesus is telling his disciples now, let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. Now, what is the reason for the rapture? Why does God want to take us away from the earth? And if you've been coming to Rehoboth, you've been taught the reason. Anyone care to say, what is the reason that we're going to be taken away from the earth? Sister Johnny? Because there is a reason why God wants to take us away from the earth.
Maybe the reason is so that God can cleanse the earth.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The reason for the rapture, the reason for the catching away, is because God is going to cleanse the earth. And the Bible says that we are not appointed for wrath. Did you have a question?
No.
And also not only to clean the earth, he just wanted to clean and get rid of all the wickedness. So we can face the new heaven and earth and a new Jerusalem. But how we get there, we have to believe in him and accept him as our Lord and Savior.
Amen. You do have to believe. We're going to get to the qualifications soon. But the reason for the rapture, the real reason for the rapture, is so that we can be taken out before judgment falls on the earth. We see this in the Old Testament. Isn't this what happened to Noah? Genesis 5:6-5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. It seems as if men just seem to think of worse things and worse things to do. And it repented the Lord. That's the first time in Scripture it says God changed his mind. And it repented the Lord, Genesis 6:6, that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. You know, we can hurt God. Any of you have children? All of you have children. Could you hold up your hands? Well, then, I'm sure at some point you have been hurt, right? I'm sure at some point, you know, because you can only be hurt if there is what? Love. Love. So if you don't love someone, they really don't have much power over you. You know, I've used the example of someone on the street. You ever been driving and someone just, you know, shakes their hand at you, gives you the finger? Now, are you going to agonize for the next month and be all upset about that for the next month? No, you don't even know who that person is. You might be upset for the time. But if it's a family member or someone close to you, that can hurt, Sister Janice. That can hurt. So because the Bible says that we are his creation, we can hurt God because God so loves, Sister Janice.
I wanted to say, like, if we have the love of God in our hearts, like the Lord says we're supposed to, like when you're at work sometimes, people will not vex you, but they will also hurt, you know, the God that's in you because of the things that they do. And you Amen. Still have to show them love. And that hurts because you'd be like, I'd be like, bathroom break. And then they'd be like, Miss Janice, where you be? And I'd be like, bathroom break, because I have to, you know, get away, because otherwise, you know, I might start crying because of the love of God that's in me. And I'm so sensitive, which I shouldn't, but God tells us to be sensitive to the Spirit. And sometimes we be too sensitive while you're at work. And I'd be like, you know, my kids call me big crybaby. But I'm like, you know, it's just the love of God that's in me. And sometimes I'm just overwhelmed, or, you know, I'm hurt by something. Like, they might say, oh, Miss Janice, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you know, they didn't have to say that, Lord. But, you know, I still show kindness. And that hurts, because you still have to show love and kindness regardless of how you're being treated.
Amen.
Everywhere
Amen.
You go now, it ain't only at work.
Amen. Because Amen. We were created to be his image. And yes, there are, if you are filled with the Spirit, there are places you go where it grieves your spirit, because that's really God's spirit because of the environment. Verse 7, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping things and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me. That's the second time God said, it repenteth me. That means he was sorry that he had made them. Amen. So the reason for the rapture is that judgment is going to fall on the earth. Now, as I've taught you before, when Jesus came the first time, do you remember what he said in the book of John? He says, now has come the judgment. Do you know that when Jesus came the first time and they rejected him, that the judgment of the earth should have happened at that time? But what did Jesus say? Anyone remember that lesson? But if I be lifted up. Now, in the translation that you have, they stick a word in there that's not in the original. In the King James, it says, but if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. But in the original Greek, it doesn't say men. The true meaning is, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all. He meant the judgment. Do you understand that judgment was about to fall on the earth because of the rejection of Jesus? But he said, if I be lifted up, he who knew no sin took all that judgment for us the first time. The Bible said in Isaiah 52, that his visage, his face, his body was marred above all other men. Do you understand that after he arose, Mary had a hard time recognizing him? Because he took the judgment that was destined for the earth the first time. But it was only delayed. You know what he said when people said, "We want you to do a trick, do a miracle for us." Do you know what he said? The only sign that's going to be given you is the sign of who? Jonah, right? Jonah was in the belly of the whale. Actually, he died too, but another lesson. And was brought back to life, so to speak. That was the only sign Jesus said was going to be given. But at the preaching of Jonah, this terrible city, Nineveh, the Assyrians, the enemies of Israel, repented. And judgment was delayed because Jonah preached that yet 40 days, Nineveh was going to be what? Destroyed. And because of his preaching, what happened? Judgment was delayed. Do you understand the parallel with Jesus? Because of Jesus coming and dying, the judgment of the earth was delayed, but it was not stopped. God has given from 2,000 years for men to repent. But it's coming. Genesis 6:7, "And the Lord said, I will destroy man from whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made him." But here's the great verse. "But Noah found grace." You know what we need to do? We need to put our name right there. You need to read that verse with your name. And you need to tell yourself that every day. The fact that you're here, the fact that you have heard the truth, the fact that you have been baptized, that's your verse. That's my verse. Michael found grace. Ain't that the truth? Put your name in that verse and read it. Sister Johnny found grace. Michelle found grace. Sister Mary found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Sister Audrey found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You know why? Because judgment is coming. There's a time coming on the earth, the Bible says, such as never was, nor shall be hereafter. Now, to me, that's such a strange thing because look at human history. Look at how terrible. There have been times when it seems you couldn't get any worse. The Bible says there's going to get worse. During the first century, there came an emperor called Nero. And he killed thousands and thousands of Christians. And he didn't just kill them. He crucified them and then burnt them alive. He fed them in the arena to wild beasts. There's a time coming that's going to be worse than that. Is that possible? That's what the Bible says. But Noah found grace. Just put your name in there and repeat that verse, Genesis 6:8. If you have been baptized in his name, if you have been filled with his spirit, if you are seeking him, then you can use that verse. But Noah, put your name. You know what Noah means? Comfort. It's the last word of a 10-word prophecy. And I've taught you that before, right? Adam, there's 10 generations from Adam to Noah, right? And they spell out a prophecy. They spell out a prophecy. Adam, which means man. Appointed, which is Seth, that was his son. Mortal, which was his grandson, Enos. But the blessed God, right, shall descend, Jared. Teaching, Enoch. His death, Methuselah, shall bring. That's what Methuselah means. The despairing, which is Lamech, and his son was Noah, comfort. If you're despairing this morning, if you're at the end of your rope, this is for you. Man-appointed mortal, Adam, Seth, Enos, Canaan, Mahalalel, which means, Hallel means praise, Mahalalel, the blessed Lord, Jared shall descend. The despairing, Lamech, and then finally Noah, comfort. God is going to bring comfort. Noah found grace. Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace are you saved through faith. It's because of your belief while you're here this morning. If you didn't believe, I hope you didn't come just to see people, but you came because you needed a word, you needed to hear something that was going to touch your soul. For by grace are you saved. None of us are in here because we're perfect people. I'm here because as I teach Purpose Institute, and I taught them what I call the grace equation, that before the law, sin was not imputed, right? But after the law, when Jesus came in Romans 10, it says, but Christ is the end of the law in righteousness. And you put those two things together. Where there's no law, sin is not imputed. And Jesus Christ is the end of the law in righteousness. Therefore, sin is not imputed to them that are in Christ. Isn't that grace? That's what grace is. Not because I'm not guilty, but because someone else came and paid the penalty. And the judge said, dismissed. Sin is not imputed to them that are in Christ. Now, that doesn't mean that we should sin, that grace should abound, right? But if the Bible says if we are overtaken in a fault, he is faithful. I have been overtaken in many faults, but I'm still standing here to thank God for his mercy and his grace and his love. See, when God, the Bible says that the Lord knows how to deliver the righteous. And so he gave instructions to Noah how to be saved. God has given us instructions how to be saved, how to flee the coming wrath. Although he found grace, he still had to be obedient. It wasn't just belief that saved Noah. It was obedience. Obedience. Yes, we are told to flee from the wrath to come, but then we have to be obedient. He could have said, well, you know, I do believe, Lord, but I just don't feel like going and building an ark. I don't feel like coming to church. I don't feel like reading your word. Do I have to change the way I live? Yes, you do. You're going to have to be different from the world around you. They're starting to laugh at you, Noah. You're building this boat in the middle of nowhere. That makes no sense. Can you imagine the scorn that was heaped upon him? He had to be different. They thought him crazy. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without pitch. Do you understand? He had to do it exactly as God had told him. Exactly as God had told him. Well, you know, Lord, this is a lot of trouble. Can I cut a corner here? There is no substitute for perfect obedience with God. There's no substitute. There's some scriptures in the Bible that said, in Kings, when it's giving the list of kings, and the Bible said he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. Means he was just going through it because he had to. Didn't really believe it. This thing, this walk, is a walk of faith. You have to believe. And how do we gain faith? And how do we get the word? By hearing. And how shall they hear? Unless there is a preacher. And how can he preach? Unless he is sent. Isn't that what the word says? I'm not making that up, is it? That's not my word. That's what the Bible says. That's why Paul says, I am compelled to preach, because it's the word that washes us. It's the word that will save us. You may say, how does the word save? I don't know. But God says it does. I'm not going to question God or challenge him. I'm just going to believe. Noah started arguing with God, but God, this ark is too big, or it can't float, or where am I going to get the wood from? He could have come up with all kinds of questions. But the Bible doesn't record him questioning God. He just started to do it. Well, if God says to do something, even if I don't know how I'm going to build this thing, I only have 8 people. How can I build something that's 450 feet long and 80 feet across? How can I do that, God? If God tells you to do something, he will equip you to do it. And all I can tell you, he has never failed me. Oh, my goodness. Even this week, God did a miracle for me. And most of the miracles I can't even tell you other than that he did a miracle. That's all I can say. Amen. Amen. Underneath are the everlasting arms. Room shall thou make in the ark. You understand that that's a parallel? Isn't that what Jesus said in John 41? John, I'm going to go away to prepare a mansion. He had to make rooms in the ark, right? God told him how to make it. That's what Jesus said. In my Father's house are many mansions. There's place to stay. God is building something for you. So there's a model. Noah became the savior of his family, right? He was the savior to his family. He told them, God spoke to me, and this is what we have to do to be saved, right? Now, I believe Noah's family was bigger than 8 people. Noah's family was certainly bigger than 8 people. You know what that means? Not everybody believed. Not everybody believed. Oh, I wish we could just save people by talking to them. But as I said at the beginning, this is a personal thing. You have to receive whatever God has given you. You have to act upon it. God is not going to force you to love him or to obey him. You have to take the word and you have to bring it in. You have to make it real to you. So let's look at the model. Noah, the savior of his family. Jesus, savior of the obedient believers. The Bible says that Noah was preaching for 120 years. And in 120 years, the only church people he got was 8 people. Wouldn't that be discouraging? You know, there's preachers that give up much, 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 much less than that, right? But Noah preached for 120 years while he was building the ark. That's what it is revealed in the New Testament. And he only had 8. 8 souls. Jesus said, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many find it. Narrow or tight is the way. That means you're going to have to push. It's straight. When it says straight, it doesn't mean straight. It means tight. That means you're going to have to. It's a fight. It's so easy to not serve God. It's so easy to just give up. It's so easy for the devil to tell you all kinds of things. Well, you don't have to do that. You can serve God this way or that way. It's a fight. You have to press your way through. Nobody that came to Jesus to be healed just walked up. You'll find that they had to show faith. We saw that, right? The layman, his friends had to lift off the roof. The woman with the issue of blood, there was a crowd around Jesus. For her, this old little woman, to get there, you know, she was pushing. She was determined. This is a fight. I taught that message, you know, if you're a soldier, why are you surprised you're getting shot at? Aren't you in the army of God? So if you're in a war, why are you surprised you're getting shot at? Okay. The Bible says that Noah was perfect in his generations. That's why he was selected. He had not been corrupted yet. 2 Corinthians 5:21, Jesus was also perfect, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Ooh, look at this. That we may be made the righteousness of God in him. Do you believe that? It's hard for our flesh to believe that we are the righteousness of God. Because the devil says, you're a liar. You did all kinds of things last week. But I've told you before, if we look at ourselves and we see the state of who we are, we want to give up. I would want to give up. Because I know all my warts. I know all my failings. Maybe I don't know all of them, but I know a lot more than you do. But that's why the scripture says, looking unto Jesus. If we start looking at ourselves and our failings, we cannot make it. It's impossible. But look at this. This is another scripture you need to meditate upon. It says that he who knew no sin took our sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. If we actually believed that and walked in faith, we would have such power. Because you tie that with Romans 10, where it says that Christ is the end of the law in righteousness to them that believe. And then you tie that remote with Romans, and I'm going to keep saying that because I just love that. You tie that with Romans 5, where it says that before the law, sin was not imputed. God wasn't writing it down. And so Jesus is the end of the law. That means sin is not being imputed. And I am the righteousness of Christ. Paul says, it's not me that lives, but Christ that lives in me. Ooh, think about that. Meditate upon that. Then Noah was obedient to the instructions that he was given. I'm going to run out of time. I'm only on 10. Noah was obedient to the instructions. God said, this is what you do to be saved. A lot of people want to be saved their own way. When Jesus gave his commission in Matthew 28:19, when he said, go into all the preaching, he ended it up this way, teaching them to observe everything, all my commandments. You know what that word observe? It's an old English word, but it really means obey. Obey all my commandments. If any man love me, he will what? You can't get to heaven your own way. It's not going to happen. Jesus said, I am the door. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We've been talking about an open door. The door is open, but you better walk into it. You can't be saved your own way. So Noah was obedient to the instructions. Jesus was obedient to the Father's will. He said, not my will, but thy will be done. And in my mind, I've said this before, that's the greatest statement a human being can say if you mean it. If you can truly say and get up here and say, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. Ooh. Because the Lord's will may take you some places you don't want to go. Make you give up some things you don't want to give up. Walk in a way you don't want to go. Jesus said, I didn't come here to do my will, but the Father's will. Father's will may make you leave your place and go somewhere you don't want to go. Sacrifice you don't want to give up. But you know what? Jesus said, no one has given up anything for my sake or the kingdom's sake that he shall not receive 100-fold. That's what you got to think about, not the sacrifice, but the reward. The Bible says, for we shall all appear before the judgment seat, the bema seat. That's not a seat of condemnation. That's a seat of reward. That's a seat of saying, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And all of us in here today actually should be working for the kingdom. If you haven't prayed for someone this week, if you haven't given out a card, if you haven't invited someone to church, you're not working. Let me just be blunt. Let me just tell you like it is. You're falling down on the job. It's not about this church or this kingdom, but you should be working for God's kingdom. Because the people who you don't speak to, they're facing the judgment that is about to fall on this earth. So let's continue. Noah preached unto his fellow men. Of course, Jesus preached unto his brethren. Ark created with just one door. That huge boat only had one door. There's only one way in to the Ark of Safety. There's not a million ways. You can't get to God through Buddha, Krishna, all these other isms. There was only one door in the Ark. There's only one truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by me. There it goes, John 14:6. In the same chapter where he says, I've gone away to prepare a place and let not your heart be troubled, he's saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Genesis 17:6. And the proof of this is, of course, we taught that just a few Tuesdays ago. Who shut the door? God shut the door. Noah didn't shut the door. He went in, but it was God that shut the door. And they that went in, male and female, of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. You know why the Lord shut him in? You know why the ark was built? What was about to happen? Judgment. Do you understand that the rapture is to take us away so that judgment is going to fall on the earth? That's what's going to happen. For thousands of years, men have destroyed God's purpose and his will. They have done evil, and God's about had it now. Judgment is about to fall. The Bible tells us it was the water, the judgment, the thing that came down is also the thing that saved them. 1 Peter 3:20 says, which sometimes, speaking about those people, were disobedient. When once the long-suffering of God, God waited a couple thousand years after Adam before judgment fell. Actually, it's every 2,000 years. Because 2,000 years of that, I told you, Jesus came and judgment was about to fall then. And judgment did fall then. But who did it fall on? It fell on Jesus. And you know what? We're about 2,000 years from that. Judgment is about to fall again. This time, because they have rejected him, the one who would have taken the judgment is going to fall on the earth. The Bible says, which sometime were disobedient when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is eight souls, were saved. How were they saved? So the thing that came down saved the people. The Bible explains that it is also part of our salvation. We're going to have some baptisms today. And it's the water has a salvation purpose. Most of the other denominational churches tell you that baptism is only an outward sign. It's not necessary if you don't get baptized. Well, the Bible contradicts that right here. It says, the like figure, that means the thing that happened with Noah where the water saved them, that symbol, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Salvation begins at repentance and baptism. When you go down in that water, it symbolizes a death. The old man dies, and you are to. When you arise out of that water, you are to believe that your old man is dead. And if you believe that, all your sins are washed away. They're gone. Jesus, the Bible says he cast them into the sea of forgetfulness. You know, we forgive, but we never forget. Bible says God forgets. He erases it. Amen. Jesus, before he left, gave his disciples a private briefing because not everyone is to know the secrets of the kingdom. In Matthew 24, he told us what the situation would be before his coming. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Look at this beautiful temple. It was one of the seven wonders of the world back then. It was beautiful, covered with marble. And you could see it for miles when the sun hit it. There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, facing the temple, which is on Mount Zion, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Three questions, and I taught about this before, so I'm not going to spend a long time. I said, Jesus said, take heed that no man deceive you. We had several Bible studies on that, and that the time would come where there would be a lot of deception, right? There'd be a lot of deception. People saying, well, you have a lot of time, or the temple has to be built, or all this other stuff, that there would be a spirit of deception. And many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. There's many, 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 many ministries. But the way to judge them is, what are they preaching? Is it the gospel message? Is it the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ? Is it that baptism and repentance should be preached in his name? Because if they're not preaching that, you can tell right off the bat Because that's what that baptism and repentance should be preached. That's what should be preached in his name. So if you see a ministry and they never preach that, maybe they're preaching healing. Maybe they're preaching prosperity. Maybe they're preaching all kinds of things. Maybe they're really preaching humanism. The lie from the garden. You are a God. You can be all you can be. No, that's not the gospel message. Amen. And he shall hear of wars and rumors of war. See that he be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes. Do you know there's a place now having tremendous earthquakes that didn't have many before? In the middle of America. Anyone know where it is? You probably haven't heard about it, but you look it up. They just had the largest earthquake that they've ever had in this particular state. And the reason why I haven't heard it, because it's a pretty empty state. But I'll tell you what, it's Oklahoma. Oklahoma has had 600 earthquakes. And the reason for the earthquakes is because they're man-made. Because they have been doing what they call fracking. They've been sending millions and millions of gallons of pressurized water into the earth to get out the last bit of oil. And because of their greed and not caring about the environment, it started to have an effect. And it started to have now sizable earthquakes. They had the biggest one only a few months ago, 5.6, in Oklahoma, which is just nothing. Earthquakes in strange places. The Bible says all these are the beginnings of sorrows. We've seen Christians now being beheaded. When I was growing up, that scripture sounded so strange. Who would go back to beheading people? That sounded so medieval. That sounded so strange with guns and weapons of warfare. Who would think that people would actually go back to beheading Christians? You understand, we are seeing the scripture fulfilled before our eyes. And most of us are still not moved. No, most of us are still don't understand what this means. Do you understand what this means? This is prophecy being fulfilled before our eyes. This means Jesus is coming. In the 21st century, would you have expected people to be chopping people's heads off? I mean, this only started to happen, say, in the last 15 years. You go back, most of us were born in the last century, right? There's nobody here who's only 17, right? No, I'm not 17 either. But look at scripture being fulfilled before our eyes, where in the Middle East, thousands of Christians have been killed, burned, beheaded. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Look at this country right now. Have you seen the political thing just kind of split? I've been on Facebook and people are blocking people and throwing them off their page just because of politics. And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. Everyone now is Apostle Dr. Bishop. Everyone is Apostle Dr. Bishop instead of servant. That's what Paul called himself. I, Paul, a servant. That's my hope. Lord, make me a servant. That's the highest title you can get from God, is servant. Boy, if I am his servant, that means he's using me. I don't want to be anything else but a servant. So there's two things the Bible speaks about, the rapture and the second coming. They're not the same thing. The second coming is when Jesus comes back the final time to rule and reign on the earth. Now, that's going to be spectacular. When he comes back, he ain't going anywhere after that. But the rapture, we meet him in the air. 1 Corinthians 15:52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound. And the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. That's those who are alive. We shall be changed. Changed. Even so, Lord, come quickly. And we meet him in the air. And we're taken away from this earth. And then the Lord sends in the cleaning service. It's all in Revelation. The bowls of wrath. The judgment that will be coming upon this earth. The second coming is when, after the cleaning service is done, he comes to set up and rule and reign on earth. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. So that is the rapture and the second coming. Revelation 1:7, behold, he cometh with clouds, every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail. Now, I put a little graph on there, and we've been teaching that on Tuesday nights about the three harvests, the first fruits, the rapture, and of course the second coming. And they're all on the website. If you missed them, go and listen to them and download the notes. I am so ready for the coming of the Lord. Not in myself, but in my spirit. In my spirit, I've really gotten to the place. I never thought I would get to this place where I wanted him to come so much. You need to be sick of this world. You need to be able to say like Jesus, there is nothing, the devil comes, but he hath nothing in me. Nothing in me. I don't know what it is I would want. My kids said they can't buy me anything. They don't know because I don't really want anything. What do I want? I have everything that I want. The most important thing you have, if you have it, is Jesus. If you have Jesus, you have everything that you need. Because the Bible says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. This is all about the last door that is going to be opened. Revelation 4, verse 1. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me and said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. See, the Bible says that we shall be changed in the moment and twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. In Romans chapter 8, it speaks that for the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain until now. Are you travailing? I mean, I had some hard, really difficult 2 weeks, both at my job and just lots of things dealing with. See, but the Bible says, in this life ye shall have what? So don't think it's strange, the fiery trials. If I wasn't experienced tribulation, I'd be wondering whose side am I on? Right? If it was all easy, plain sailing, I'd be starting to wonder, well, whose side am I on? See, I know the devil hates me because I'm trying to serve the King of Kings. The devil hates you because you are trying to serve the King of Kings. He's going to try and come at you through your loved ones, through circumstances, through situations. And what he wants to do is to destroy your faith. That's why Jesus told Peter, he said, Simon, Simon, Satan wants to do what? Sift you as wheat. You know how they sift wheat? They go up to a high place, and they wait till the wind is blowing, and they throw up the wheat, and the wind blows away all the chaff. See, Satan wants to blow you away, take you out of church, take away your faith. And when I read that scripture, I used to think, well, Jesus, why don't you tell him stop? Why don't you just tell him leave him alone? But that's not what Jesus said. He didn't say, I'm going to stop the devil bothering you. He didn't say, I'm going to block him from testing you. All he says, I pray that your faith fail not. Jesus said, the servant is not greater than the master. If they have done this to me, they're going to do it to you. But we are always so surprised and depressed when trouble and trial comes. It's because you're in a fight. You're behind enemy lines. You are a soldier in the army of the Lord. Let's stand this morning. This is my hope. Behold. When the word says, Bill, sister. Okay, Thomas, you want to come down the front? We will pray for you as we close. Amen. I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. That means somebody, probably here, we're not all going to die. But we shall be changed. I'm waiting for my change to come. I'm encouraging you today, do not let Satan deceive you, get you upset, delude you. Don't let any friends, strangers, family, because this is a personal thing. You're going to have to give an account for your own choices. You can't say, someone else made me do it. That will not work. We're all going to have to give an account for ourselves. Amen. We're going to pray, amen, that God does something, not only in the baptism, but right now, that healing comes upon you. The next time you go back to the doctor, they're not going to be able to find anything wrong with you, and that you're going to feel virtue flow into that body today. Because the God that I serve says that his name, his word, is above every name, every situation that can be named. And I'm going to pray right now, believing that God is going to deliver you and heal you. The Bible says, let them call for the elders of the church and let them pray, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Amen. So I'm going to anoint you with oil. Amen. And I'm going to pray with you right now. Hallelujah. Lord, we ask you in the name of Jesus that this pain, this situation, I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Whatever ailment, whatever sickness.